I guess I just breathe way too much.
Yeah, I do too. I've noticed that in my Instagram stories where I can hear myself breathing in the background, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I sound like such a fat piece of shit.
Do you rewatch your Instagram? I know. I do it, and it's gone,
about it?
Baby.
Oh, I'm very vain in that aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been putting a lot of work into my stories this week.
Are we going? Are we live?
Yeah, we can just go now.
Just rolling
okay.
with it. Yeah.
I was going to listen back, but I'm pretty confident that the levels are good.
Okay,
right
cool.
Now.
Yeah. yeah.
Do you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, yeah.
That's
how we started it. Hey, up your butt. Actually, I got a text today from Joseph Strick, friend of the pod, and he was like, what if you called us buttheads?
Oh, that's really
that is
good.
A fucking good.
I can't believe we didn't think of
that. I know, right?
That's really good.
Joe texted me this morning.
Friend of the pod, fan of the pod.
I guess he was.
Joe, let me be the first to say it. You will never be on this podcast. Eat shit.
He just texted me, quote unquote, buttheads, combo of idiots and up your butters. And I was like, that is fucking. Oh, that's genius.
I can't believe we didn't.
I cannot believe we didn't.
If he makes shirts at some point, he's got to get residuals, right?
Yeah.
I think so. Well, probably. No. I mean,
just give him like a free shirt.
Yeah, you hear that?
He didn't come up with
Joe, you're in for negative $10.
Yeah.
He didn't come up with the term butthead.
Joe, you owe them money.
He just applied it to us. So I like how we're already talking about how we're going to cheat Joe out of money.
Yeah.
We're not even making money from this.
I'm going to remind you guys because it takes you so long. Plug your fucking podcast.
Well, say introduce Spencer.
Okay. Well, I was going to introduce us and then introduce.
Yeah,
well,
y'all
introduce
are
Spencer,
more
he who must not be named yet.
Oh, okay.
No. On the pod today, we have my best friend, life partner, Spencer McCray Bland.
Hey, everybody.
Bland.
It's me.
Hey.
Spencer Bland, not a stage name. That's your name.
That is unfortunately my real name.
It,
yeah.
It's a good name.
It has a good ring to it.
It does, yeah.
Does
it's
it?
A good comedy name.
It is,
that's,
yeah.
Wow, that's kind of funny because I'm waiting. My dad will never listen to this. I'm waiting for my dad to die so I can change my last name.
No way. What are you going to change it to?
I'll take my mom's maiden name. So
what's
I've
her
got
maiden name?
Gardner.
Oh, yeah. Adele Gardner.
Spencer Gardner.
Yeah.
I think Spencer Bland works better.
Yeah. I just
but
hate
you,
it so much.
Okay. So for the listeners, for the buttheads, Spencer's one of my best friends. We lived together in Charlotte. He's lived in New York a couple times.
Met at Bible study.
Met at Bible study.
You guys
yeah,
met
right.
at Bible study? Mm-hmm.
We
shut
met
the
on,
fuck up.
On
how did
campus,
that
we should have put that on
in
the wall.
College. We met at a Bible study
Wait,
in college.
Okay. Now, I know. Because I do want to hear this story more than anything in
yeah,
the whole world.
But you guys gotta.
We should plug.
Plug, yes.
Guys, I do. We didn't really reiterate this last time, but please, we're starting to get some feedback on the pod, and it is so nice to hear from you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
If you like the pod, go on iTunes, on Stitcher, rate, review, leave a review, and please subscribe and tell your friends. And on all social media, we're just at Up Your Butt.
Yes.
Pod.
Yeah.
Wait, is it at Up Your Butt Pod? Yeah.
At Up Your Butt Pod. Yeah.
Yeah. At Up Your Butt Pod, and then Up Your Butt Pod at Gmail.
Yeah.
If you want to hit us up, please hit us up. We love fucking hearing from you, and we're having such a good time getting.
We
feedback
love
from
fucking
you guys.
And hearing from you. No, it's great. I love. You know what? My number's 910-545-5026. Just text me, praise.
I'm 100% going to bleep that out. That is insane that you did that. And maybe I won't. Just
did
to,
you see what I...
I think you should just so like in 5 years from now, there's someone who can
who
listen to this.
That number?
You're going to still have that number.
Oh, yeah.
Numbers
I've had
don't,
it for like...
You have to like switch...
12 years.
I think you can
years.
Keep them if you change like companies.
Maybe I'll just
did
take
you
your
see
number
the other day,
and put it in a song.
I did that to Casey.
Oh,
Casey
really
texted
good.
Me.
Like 867-5309, but...
Your no.
Baby.
Jordan, I'm going to make okay. you my... the other day, real quick, the other day, Casey texted me. I don't know if you saw it. Casey McGowan texted me. He was like, hey, what's Sam's number? And I texted him back. What's the area code for New York 646?
Yeah.
646.
It was,
yeah,
I texted him.
Or 937.
I texted him. I just, I didn't even skip a beat. I was just like, 626-420-6969. And then he texted it.
Yeah.
And it's a real live number.
Yeah.
I texted him. The number I sent him is 626-420-6969.
That person must get so many texts.
I know.
And it must drive them fucking insane.
Yeah, it's got to be nuts. You know what, guys? I hate to say this, but... I think I gotta go to the bathroom.
Go for it.
That's fine.
Okay.
Sam and I can get to know each other.
This might be, yeah.
Do you think it's going to be a number one or a number
it's
two?
It's definitely a number two.
Okay, ooh, well, take that toilet paper okay, cool. out of the toilet paper
okay,
that
cool.
I just bought.
Maybe, prophetic, I don't know how long it's going to be, but.
It's okay.
Okay.
Did you just say an hour?
No, I said I don't know how long.
Leave the fan on after you get done, okay?
Do you have poopery? This podcast is brought to you by.
No. You know what I am a big fan of, though, that I keep meaning to do? I think just lighting a match after a poop.
It is really good.
It's really effective.
I would like to know the science behind that. You know how there's like, you know, you ever watch Sports Science?
Yeah.
I would really wish they would do poop that with just
shit science,
just everyday things that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Specifically, starting with the match thing, because it's just, I mean, I can drop the sauciest bomb.
Yeah. Now, do you think that it is, do you think it's either that the smell of a match is just so overpowering, or do you think that there's something about a burning flame that burns up poop particles?
I took AP Bio like a decade ago, which has nothing to do with this type of science.
They cover this day three.
But I think it's the fact of that the fire takes, it does something with the oxygen in the air, maybe?
Uh-huh. Right.
That's got to be it, right?
It truly feels like the match.
It sucks
eats
it out.
Yeah,
sucks the poo right out the air.
Yeah,
because I mean, like you can literally, I mean, you can drop a scorcher in there, and you can like sometimes because I like the smell of matches.
Yeah,
which is surprising that no one's made just a match scented candle yet. That might be too much, but
yeah. Also, anytime somebody takes a smell and puts it in a candle, it's not really quite.
It's
that
like
smell.
This still smells like a candle.
Yeah.
It's like this is just a candle form of something.
Yeah,
I sometimes light too.
Yeah, oh, I'll do two or three.
And I'll do two, and I'll kind of like treat them like air traffic control
exactly.
wands.
Exactly. I'll go from low by the toilet seat all the way up to the
or
top.
Or sometimes I do the Zorro.
Yeah. Zorro. You treat them like a kid treats sparklers.
Exactly.
On the 4th of July.
Yeah. I very rarely get. I used to be a huge pyromaniac.
Yeah.
Yeah, like almost burned my house down one time.
We could talk about this.
We should. Yeah, all right, there we go.
I used to have jokes about this.
Really, about almost burning your house down?
All right. Had to go. My father was a doctor.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I had to go to a special program when I was like 13 because me and my friend Dobes, and really it was all my idea.
Right.
We got caught outside of my house trying to light my sidewalk on fire with gasoline. And so my dad, and this was not my first offense.
Yeah.
And my dad found out about this program at the hospital where he worked where they take kids on like a day-long seminar on the weekend, and it's all these kids. And they just take them on a tour through the burn ward, and they show you like videos.
So it's like Scared Straight.
Exactly.
It is 100% that. Yeah.
We had a guy, sweetest guy in the world, who was like a burn victim. And
he
wasn't even like horrifically scarred except for like on his arms and chest. And we had to like feel his skin grafts.
No, it's too much.
Nope. Oh, it's terrifying.
That
but it was, yeah. And I remember this was part of my joke was I was like sitting there sweating bullets. Because they make you line up and you have to say what you did. And I was like, oh, I'm going to look so stupid. And then the fucking first kid stands up and he goes, hey, I'm Tommy. And we burnt down my friend's trailer trying to make Drano bombs. And I was like, holy shit.
I did that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't burn a trailer down. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm talking too much. You tell me your fire history.
Well, my parents did not care enough about me to send me to fire prevention camp. But it's probably because they were divorced and too busy doing other things. But no, yeah, I mean, my friends, I lived in a low-income neighborhood. So my parents were divorced when I was like five.
Uh-huh.
And we'll spare the emotional shit, but like my mom did not make a lot of money, so I lived in like a lower-income, still middle class. Like I didn't live in a ghetto. Lower middle class neighborhood. And then my dad, who made a ton of money. So I like hung out with like super privileged white kids,
sure.
And then like super un.
I'm back, baby.
There he is. We're talking about real good stuff.
Yeah, right when it was.
Yeah.
God, Jordan.
What are you guys talking about?
How we were both pyromaniacs.
Yeah, Spencer and I.
Oh, I am too.
Hold on, I want to hear Spencer's fire story.
Okay. So I lived.
Is it
like
a fire story?
It could be.
Is it great?
If you quit interrupting me.
Okay. Oh.
We're
never gonna have you back.
That's fine. Yeah, and it's crazy how both sets of white kids just loved lighting shit on fire. But we had
it's a commonality.
Yeah, I mean, like in my, but it was
I don't
like
think it's race specific.
It was two very different types of fire. Like my lower income friends, we would take tennis balls and dunk them in gasoline and play like flaming tennis.
That's fucking awesome,
right? It was super fun. really dangerous because I'm
12-year-old me is furious right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And this is because all of our parents worked so much, so we just had zero supervision. And my sister was 16 at the time. She's like, I'm gone. You know.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of my dad's neighborhood, we built forts like in the back in the woods because we could just go like steal because we were entitled and we would just like steal stuff from construction sites. Yeah. But we had like an intricate system of forts. And there was one kid we did not like, and we burnt his fort down.
Oh.
Yeah, which, like, in hindsight, should have caused a forest fire. But
yeah,
it was
you definitely should have been prosecuted on charges. Oh,
there was, dude, there's. I got away with so much white crime when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's the that's why I went to public or went to private school.
That's a huge, yeah, if you, that is like, yeah, it's crazy if you're, like, a white teenager who, like, fucks shit up.
Oh.
And then you, like, look at like the trouble that like black kids get in. If you can look at that and be like, oh no, we're all the same. It's like, fuck off.
I actually explained race relations to my mom that way. Cause I was like, hey, do you remember when I like accidentally burnt like almost, what was it? I almost burnt the side of the house down.
Yeah.
Like I like melted the siding on our house.
Yeah. And people are like, ah, you're a kid.
Yeah. Like it's I just like, phased this fucking off.
Well, that's not the same.
Cause we
for
filled,
all of
we filled,
us,
we filled water balloons with gasoline.
Oh my God.
And through the, Jesus Christ. I sound like a psychopath.
You were no. This is this we were. Is, you're describing everything I wanted to do, but didn't get the opportunity.
We did a lot.
I just wasn't smart
and
enough to think of it.
Surprisingly, zero burn. Like the closest I got to actually like burning my house down is I had the little, you know, little green army men, and I would just have because we would go to the Dollar Tree and I would
torch
drop, like, $5. I'm like, so I had like 500 of these guys.
Yeah, old
but
battalion.
They had some that were flamethrower dudes, and I was like, well, I got to be authentic, and I would light other dudes on fire with them and I would melt them. They'd all, you know, they just melt down. But I had like a wooden military crate that I kept my toys in, and I burnt one of them on top of that, and then that caught on fire in my room. And usually I was okay, like I could just go get water, and that was the one time that I was like, mom, like and she ran up with like the actual fire extinguisher and everything.
I just thought of you melting those army men down, like that scene in The Patriot when Mel Gibson's son dies and then he has his toy soldiers.
He melts them down
and
into
he melts
a
them
bullet.
Down and makes bullets. What if you did that and just melted them down and made BBs and terrorized your that'd be so funny.
Yeah.
I was just playing with fire at work the other day.
It's so
I was
fun.
Playing around with actually it was Wednesday? Was it yesterday? No, two whatever.
Wouldn't that be so funny if you were a grown man who accidentally started a fire in his office? It'd be hilarious.
Well, this is at the bar. I was playing around with like a flaming cocktail, broke a glass. I don't know if you've ever seen the videos, but if you take a string, dip it in gasoline, wrap it around like a beer bottle, below the expansion of the neck.
Yeah.
Then you light it on fire, it's a perfectly even crack. And that's how you just sand it off. That's how you make like cool beer bottle glasses.
Do you not remember when we tried that when we lived together? And failed.
Did we do it? I know, yeah. I mean, I'm just going off the videos.
It was a long time ago in college.
This actually worked. Yesterday, I just took a rock glass, like a short glass.
Uh-huh.
And then I had, I did like the absinthe thing where you pour alcohol over a sugar cube, light the sugar cube on fire. And then dropped it into the cocktail that I just made, and it was just like the glass broke where the line of alcohol was, so everything below that stayed intact, but then the glass it was a perfectly even crack. It was crazy, so flat.
Oh, okay,
that's insane.
Fucking loved it. And then I was like,
I had a friend in college who did a flaming shot and like burned his face, not permanently, but like he it was like his birthday, and we saw the cell phone video. This was like right when like cameras got good on cell phones too.
Yeah.
And you see him take the shot, and then there's just fire on his cheek.
Dude.
And he like, and then for like a week after, he just had like a solid coat of Vaseline
on. Okay,
because it wasn't like just figured.
It was a bad burn,
you know? Yeah. But oh my God,
has anyone ever?
Because everybody closes their eyes when they take that shot.
Yeah. And it's also you're also a little apprehensive because it's fire.
Like, I'm trying to think if I've ever done a fire shot.
I haven't.
Never
it freaks me out.
Yeah.
And I
would never do it.
I'm an admitted pyromaniac.
I would never do it because my 21st birthday, or 20th birthday, it was in Greenville. It was with Janet. I'm pointing at Spencer because he knows all of these. He knows me so well, so much
Janet
better than you, Sam.
And Janet is his like first ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Her townhouse. We're at her apartment. Doing, and my friend Alex comes over and he's like, we got to take a shot. Bacardi 151, bro. Or no, it was Everclear.
Vomit.
It was Everclear, and I tried to take the shot, closed my eyes, missed my mouth, maced myself in the face.
Maced yourself in the face?
Like, poured it all over my face.
Oh, okay.
Down in
but
my
you
eyes.
You didn't mace.
The way you made it sound.
Took a shot, then maced myself.
Yeah. You just sprayed mace. Like a psycho.
Trying to see if I have. I've got
pictures.
Took
a shot in the face.
You have pictures of this?
Not this, but I have pictures of Jordan and I in college that are right around this time.
Oh, this will be great for this audio podcast.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I'm trying to give Sam some context.
Do get started on this meeting at Bible study story. Is there really even a story, or is it just
curious? It's not much. No. So
I did call him Fat Marcus Mumford when I first met him.
Yeah, you were a lot more complimentary about it. I was standing. Yeah. There's a photo.
Who's Marcus Mumford?
Mumford and Sons, lead singer. Really? Mumford and Sons. I used to have like this.
It's the
is that how long Mumford and Sons have been around?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess so.
This is what, 2012?
Dude, no.
2010?
No, dude, this was like 2009.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
This was before we were 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I'm not digging through Facebook photos.
what was it? It was VCM, Victory Christian Ministries.
Which later
VCU.
Found out as a cult. So.
Oh, so this is a college Bible study.
It was a charismatic college Bible study.
You guys went to Bible study in college?
Dude, we were in church in college.
Y'all some fucking nerds.
Dude, we have another mutual friend of ours, a guy named Sean. Actually, friend of the pod. I got him to listen to one episode.
Really?
Yeah, so hey, Sean.
I think you're a friend at three episodes in, not just one.
Well, acquaintance of the pod.
Listener.
Whatever the levels are.
Hey, guys, longtime caller, first time listener.
But I was telling him about, we grilled out a few weekends ago, and we were talking, and we were like, we wasted our college years trying to...
Did we waste them? We had a great time. Even though it was involved in somewhat of a cult, it reminds me of Wild Wild Country a little bit. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Every time they talk about it, they're just like, we had a really good time. It was the U.S. government that had a problem. We're like, we turned out okay, and then that's how I feel.
We turned out fine, but there's people that I still know that are in that are like, yeah, not okay. Yeah, yeah. Which I guess you could say the same for Bhagwan.
Can I be honest with you? I've tried to watch Wild Wild Country 4 times, and I have not gotten through the first episode.
First episode's the slowest.
Yeah,
can we talk about illegal drugs on here?
Yeah.
Okay. I just get really high.
I don't know. Maybe we can't.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I get really high and watch it. Okay. And it's
what
I know. Fuck, sorry.
No,
my mom knows I smoke weed. She hates it, but I get really high and watch it. And I do. They're like 10 minutes too long. The episodes, because I think they're like 57 minutes an episode.
Also, they don't get as crazy as they make it. I do love the Duplass brothers though, because
they definitely they push it real hard. I just wish they would have focused on the open fucking more.
Open fucking. Wait, don't say it. Don't spoil it. All right.
It's good.
Okay. It gets intense.
I'm drawn back in. You guys
get past the first episode.
It's good, though.
SNL did a good skit with it when they did that thing about it.
But it was an on-campus ministry, and I actually, so they were having a get-together at their place.
Oh, right, how we met.
And then one of the head pastors, like one of the two or three top guys.
Mm-hmm. Hey, your girlfriend's calling me.
Oh, she just called me.
Should I answer it? No.
You can answer it. Go for it.
All right. You guys
take a time out. Yeah. I can edit this out too.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So we'll wait.
Hey, lady.
Hey, where is Sam's recording the pod?
You're in so much trouble right now, I bet.
Okay. All right. We'll call you when we're done.
I love you.
Jordan said that he loves you.
Sorry, I missed your call.
He said sorry, I missed your call, but he totally fucking ignored you.
No, I didn't. What a bitch.
All right. Love you.
Will you do me a solid, Spencer, and kick over that tiny little plastic ball you see?
Yeah. Is this for your dryer?
It could be, but my girlfriend gifted it to me and said it's for my feet.
Oh,
but I have
dude.
Seen the same things in dryers.
Does it break up the static?
I don't know what to call her, but my neighbor / romantic interest / slampies.
Slampies.
I feel like a fucking terrible person for saying
that. I've
been with
a girl for 3 years and I still call her my slampies. She loves it.
She has that, but it looks like someone, you know, like cut the ball where you would like make cuts if you were folding it with paper.
Uh-huh.
And it lays out flat and you step on it.
You mean hexagonal?
Sure, man. I don't know. I don't read obscure Wikipedia articles like you.
All right.
Let's get back on subject. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it was actually super tame. It was just Alan.
A Bible study.
He was
tamed.
Like, I just started.
Alan Mitchell. This is like the Alan Mitchell is the Bhagwan for VCM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of open fucking at VCM.
Frustration.
I think it's kind of his job to integrate new people into the
You're
congregation.
Way too intense into this.
And yeah, right. He just texted me one day. He was like, "Hey man, you want to hang out?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And then he like kind of, I thought we were gonna hang out. And then he's like, "Come on over." And
It's Bible study.
It wasn't even Bible study. They were just hanging out.
We ended up praying because that's what we always did.
Yeah. Craziest thing we did was I would
run for the hills from that.
The craziest
we could
thing
get
we did
so
one time,
deep into all the weird shit
oh,
we did.
Yeah. Really? Well, the one thing I'll say is that
I don't know if you were, because you left when it got real heavy.
Yeah,
because you got kicked out.
I didn't.
Not of the church.
I was suspended
school.
From school, and I just. Yeah. But I was when I was at ECU, I was not in school at the time. when I left. But anyway, the one thing I'll say, and then we can move on, but the weirdest thing we did looking back on it is there was a time where we had a bunch of people over at their apartment. Their apartment was like the hangout. It's like him and three other dudes that lived there.
Sean was one of them, the previous aforementioned.
And there was a point where we're all like in the living room. They had this like giant, flat, really sturdy table like made of pallet wood.
This is a good idea.
And then we put a chair on top of it, put a person in the middle, and then we did an affirmation circle around that person.
Oh, I'm not. Well, I'm thinking of something totally different.
Oh, you weren't?
I was talking about when we made stadium seating in my apartment.
Oh, that was cool. But
oh, I've seen people do that before in college. That's actually fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we did weird. We would have like prayer circles, a lot of speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
It was big time emotional manipulation. But, yeah, for sure. But hey, I met Jordan through it, so.
Yeah.
And we made it out.
I hate that shit.
Yeah, it's funny now because I'm so not religious. Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you guys are friends.
Yeah.
So that's all of Spencer's intro. You are at Spencer Spicy.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Spencer Spicy?
At Spencer Spicy, yeah.
Holy shit, what that it took.
That took that long, but yeah.
Actually a good sign. Anytime that we have stuff on the board and we don't deviate get to from it in like the first 20 minutes,
we're
it's
good.
Usually pretty good.
Now we're gelling. We're vibing.
We had pyromania. We had
missed that.
Being sucked into religious activities.
You took way shorter of a poop than advertised.
That is the fastest poop.
I got to tell you, it's a lot. I mean, I think I beat my time.
Do you have a little bit of mud butt going right now?
No, like, I wiped clean.
You wiped clean?
Some people are like, do you wipe two or three times? I'm like, gross. You got to wipe till you don't see anything. Yeah. Usually I wipe till I see blood. That lets me know I'm wiping.
Can I be honest with you? That is so often the case for me. Yeah. It's very upsetting.
Have you been eating healthy? Because when you eat healthy, that's when you get the ghost poops.
I had mushroom pasta last night.
Don't quote me on that. I just kind of feel that's what
they're actually, not all. Like, if you eat like a shit ton of fiber, then your poop is like maybe pretty soft.
Maybe it's just when your
body
gets used to whatever diet you're on. Because I've been eating bagels all week, and my stomach is...
I have noticed when I... Because I don't drink much at all anymore, and when I drink a lot, then I go to poop. The next day, it's like bloody right away.
Oh, boom. Yeah. That's doing keto. How's it working for you?
No, dude. I did it for like 4 days and got like borderline sick.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's really heavy on you.
Yeah. I had no idea. And
we
like
did
I woke
it together,
up,
so.
I woke up like the fifth day, took the day off work, and then just finally it was like, fuck it. I had even just a little bit like vegetables like that have carbs and stuff and was immediately like, oh. I feel better.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you guys did that.
I will say you got to push through like the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was.
You can do vitamin supplements for the veggies and stuff like that.
We
didn't do that
again, didn't we? Did we fuck it up?
We didn't do what's our call it? What do we do? Just a lot of bacon, eggs, cheese.
Bacon. It's like
Your big thing is you kept making cauliflower pizza.
I made a lot of cauliflower substitute for crust and
but
stuff.
It was like so hard. You know, like mash cauliflower, drain it,
rice it. I didn't even have a.
But that's the thing that you still do now, right?
Yeah, we just made I just made one the other day.
It's fun.
And we have like a actual like bullet or whatever.
It's a
dildo,
it's
so it makes it
ninja.
So easy to do it.
Oh, you have a magic bullet too?
It's not a magic bullet, but it's like a the ninja.
Is that what
whatever.
You're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, yeah, I failed miserably, but I'm not ashamed of it.
Hey.
Yeah, I don't think you need
really
to
be- I'm proud of myself because I didn't tell Carmen I was trying to do it and I knew that that was a good move because I knew that she would either make fun of me or I wouldn't last long enough and then she would make fun of me.
So she doesn't even know.
No, she'll find out when and if she listens to this.
Okay.
I found out as I get older, like, I don't have the patience to do kitschy diets. But if you just eat healthy,
yeah,
it's cool.
You're coming off really posh right now.
I'm fine with that. I have been
part of the reason you wanted to be on the pod was to talk to berate us about our shitty diets.
Oh yeah, we eat pretty
poor. I literally texted him. I mean, like, which Let me preface this. I used to be 300 pounds, so like I'm not coming at this from like
used to be.
Hey,
now you're pretty tall.
You're a big dude.
So I imagine you would wear 300 pounds better than most people.
Yeah,
I don't think I did. I don't know. I also my therapist has told me that I still see myself as an obese 15-year-old. So that's probably
don't we all? Don't we all?
I think your therapist has got our number.
That's why I pay her. But
I think that's all of us, right?
I didn't look terrible, but I was a pudgy boy.
Yeah.
And then I got home and just stopped. I when I lived here, all I did was work, drink beer, and eat Chinese food.
Yeah.
It was bad, and I had the worst job ever. I worked like 18 hours a day. So,
what did you do for work here?
I worked for a terrible advertising agency called Publicis North America. So if you're
he's the reason I got into copywriting.
Yeah.
You're the lie that got Jordan started.
I am.
So some of the work that there's one or two pieces that are still on. And then he gave them to me. They weren't
so funny.
Yeah. That's he got me into the first job I ever did.
I did. I gave you my freelance. I gave you my table scraps.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was what a strange night that was.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Time. I don't know why I said night, but
Spencer, if you want, you can grab that pillow to your right. Spencer is just the first guest that we've had that is full on sprawled out on my bed, and I respect it.
I really do.
It's because I'm comfy, guys.
Should we move to the board?
Yeah, Let's go to the board.
Should we just go, you know, left to right, top to bottom, whatever?
Are you going
to
do odds and ends? Because that's my favorite segment.
Yes. Oh. Okay.
In
our private time. Sam doesn't like odds and ends. He hated it from when I first brought it up.
I like odds and ends if there's something interesting in it, which you could just call it that when you put it on the board.
I like that there's a segment.
Yeah.
Called odds and ends?
No,
really,
well,
this whole podcast is odds and ends.
You can name it whatever. I just like little segments. Like whenever I listen to Comedy Bang Bang and then Harris's Foam Corner.
We actually don't reference other podcasts.
Oh, my bad. Wow. Okay. Whoops. Jesus. So I was listening to another audio program. And but no, it's like,
oh, Harrison's Foam Corner.
Yes, yeah, we don't reference other things, Jordan. Jesus Christ.
We're down to our last bar of battery, but I think we'll be okay.
On the thing?
Yeah, we're already at 30 minutes. So.
Do we have more batteries?
We have more batteries, but I don't want to stop. We're going at such a good clip.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'll just try to keep a sharp eye out.
Yeah, okay.
Jordan will probably have to poop again. So.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe, yeah.
That's not a maybe, that's a definitely.
So let's go to the board.
Yeah,
first
to the board.
One on the board, Butterboy.
Oh, my God.
Sam did really great show, and he fucking crushed it in New York, called Butterboy, run by Joe Firestone, Parnanon Shirla, and Maeve Higgins this past Monday. And actually 2 Mondays ago, because this will come out next week, but Sam had a really great set, and I wanted to talk about this because we had a conversation a couple weeks ago about how you felt, for whatever reason, you were blackballed from some of these bigger shows.
Oh, yeah.
The bigger thing is that there were some big shows that I'll speak for you. I felt that you were more than qualified for, that you haven't done yet. And this was one of them, and you fucking did it, and you crushed it.
Yeah. I think I just get very in my head about that stuff. You know, when you don't have what you want, and then the worst part of you is just like, oh, the whole world's against me.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's just a case of that.
That makes sense, yeah.
But yeah, it was so fun. I had such a good time.
Really great crowd.
It's such a good show. If you are in New York ever, you should check it out. It's a show called Butterboy at this venue called Littlefields, and it has three hosts, Aparna Chirla, Joe Firestone, and Maeve Higgins. Maeve Higgins was hosting that night. She's so sweet.
Yes, yeah.
She's incredibly funny, and I had a really good time. It was great.
It was good. It was a good milestone. I think you were like in show mode, but I texted you. I was like, do you want a beer? And because you didn't respond to that, I didn't send this other text, but I was going to text you and be like, hey, you're doing it. Like,
oh, that's so sweet.
It was like but I didn't do it, but I meant to do it. But like, you're going to do, I was like, he's going to do fine.
You know, what's so funny is that when you sent that text, I was in show mode, but I got that text and you sent me that text right after she had handed me a drink ticket.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, I don't.
Cool. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah,
and then, good. But right before that, Casey Spencer and I walked across the street to the thrift store and bought jackets. Incredible thrift store. One of the best in New York I've been to.
I really do want to go back there.
I was just,
here's the backstory, is that we all met up. Casey Spencer and Jordan came and met me. I was just kind of putzing around trying to get my mind right pre-show. And then they come over to this bagel shop where I am, and I see all three of them in just fancy, quote-unquote, new jackets from this vintage place, and they're all super cool. And I was like, I gotta go right now because I only have a T-shirt, and this is like a big important show. But we really didn't have time to spare. And then thankfully, Casey McGowan lent me his fleece. I give all credit to that fleece. I was very.
Oh, that was not your fleece. That was Casey's fleece.
Casey's fleece.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe you
perform in jackets. I can't believe. Yeah. Or you are a jacket guy. I told you this.
I like a jacket or I like a button-up shirt.
Yes. Yeah.
I will say that looked. It looked good on you.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I might look into getting a similar fleece like that.
I would. Patagonia is a good company.
You like Patties, yeah.
But that's similar. That's another, like, chubby guy fit. You know what I mean? If I don't have a second layer on stage, yeah. I gotta hide very naked.
Like I'm wearing a t-shirt right now, and I feel exposed.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
Even if a shirt fits me, I still by default put my hands in and push it out a little bit. You know?
I do that. Sure.
The pre-stretch.
Yeah.
Come on.
The pre-stretch.
Just I want a little bit of wiggle room, maybe we should call it jiggle room. But
that's another reason I like that feeling of losing even a little bit of weight is where you put on a shirt that you've pre-stretched a million times, and you're like, I am just swimming in this.
Yeah. I did that.
Even if you're only waiting in it. You know?
I did that a few weeks ago, and I was like, man. In retrospect, it's the worst when you put something on and it's tighter. Like this outfit I'm wearing this morning, I put it on after a week of drinking wine and eating lavishly, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, that's also throwback to keto. That's what I did. That's a huge thing. If you can cut out beer, then you're golden.
Oh, yeah,
fucking solid. Clear liquor drinks. Even whiskey's okay because there's a little bit in that.
It's got some sugars in
it. Michelob Ultra is a good one. MGD. And then wine. It's 4 grams of carbs per glass of wine.
Yeah, wine's
so
great.
So you can have two glasses of wine. You're not already.
Wine is if I have a lot of wine, I get heartburn pretty bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. I do. To get back on to the thing of the show, that was the first comedy show I've been to in a very long time. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I know his comedy well because we've written together for so long. And it's good, but no, he's great. I love you, but yours was legit. Like I think I leaned to you, but I was like this. Like it was late night quality. It was good. That opener was one of the.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, that was and I'm not even. This is not me. Like I'm not stroking your shaft. Like that late joke was that might be one of my favorite jokes that I've heard.
It is really good.
Ever.
Thanks, man.
Perfect intro.
Yeah, it's really good. Oh.
I do want to try to. You know, if obviously I want to do late night, and that's what I think I would open with.
Stephen Colbert used to go to my cousin's church, so I'll put in a good word for you.
Yeah,
we gotta get back to the church.
I did see that tweeted out, and this is years after I came up with the joke, but Britney Spears tweeted that out, wording, but that opening line of "You're ever so late for work that you take your time" with different wording. And it made me furious. But I do have video of me doing the joke from years ago, so I feel...
That's I had a joke that turned into a Key and Peele sketch. And I was like, I can never tell this joke again.
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, sure, yeah, sure, yeah.
Ever. Yeah. And that was one of the first jokes I ever wrote. And then when I moved up here, I still did it. And then someone told me after a show, and they're like, did you steal that from Key and Peele? I was like, in fairness, I did not watch Key and Peele, partially because I didn't have cable.
They stole it from me.
The shitty thing is that, probably parallel thinking for you. Like, you definitely got to drop that joke. But for you, Sam, it's like...
I got to kill Britney Spears.
Nobody's going to be like, did you steal that joke from Britney Spears? I think...
That's what I do. I follow celebrity, not comedians, but celebrity accounts.
And find premises from them?
Just celebrities who are a little funny.
That's so smart. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
Like Anthony Adams, Space Adams.
That was a great show, though. That was really, really good.
So, Butterboy is...
Off the board!
Am I allowed
to
say that?
Do we
want to
go over?
Yeah, of course, please.
I don't want to do this one. You guys are discussing me with this one.
We're doing that one.
Do it, but let's go to.
Oh, Infinity. Okay, let me just play.
Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Infinity War.
This is a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear this spoiler alert, just cover your ears, put your head in the dirt, and spoiler alert.
Sounds like too long.
Spoiler alert.
That's why I like
this
song.
If you don't want to hear this spoiler alert, just cover your ears and put your head in the dirt. Cause we're gonna fucking talk about it now.
On my iPhone with earbuds. That's how good. Oh shit.
That's how good the tech is.
Do you have a MIDI keyboard? What are you doing this with?
No, I want to get a MIDI keyboard, and now they have a plug-in called an iRig that you can get a little MIDI keyboard and use with GarageBand.
I'm just gonna mail you mine.
Oh, do you have a MIDI keyboard?
I have one that I never use, and you're so fucking talented. I'm gonna give it to you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you, it's a tiny one though.
I love that.
Okay.
That's what I... Because there's... I don't have room.
It's it's like an M... No, I don't know what it is. It's unimportant. Sorry. But yeah.
But yeah. That's what I like about it that I never really realized until we started is that, if I can dedicate the time to, thinking up a song, I can, put together just loops and little simple, like,
yeah.
They have, now it's like drum machine, like a keyboard auto sequencer, and you can like put together music like while you're out and about, just like on the train.
That's pretty
and
awesome.
And then when you get back here, you can usually if I have like an hour before you get here, I can finish it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, I'm so ignorant. I don't know half of what goes into producing this podcast. That's why I don't bust your balls over it.
It's not that hard. Now we've got it down to a
science. But
let's talk
Infinity
about
War.
It.
Yeah. You got to play it again. People have forgotten about the play the spoiler alert song again.
No, they've had time. All right.
They've had time.
So, as we said last episode, I betrayed your trust.
And you went and saw it.
And I went and saw it without you.
Oh, yeah.
And justly, I had a terrible viewing experience due to
loud that's right.
children
yeah.
and bad parents. Please don't take your kids to the movies until they're old enough to sit still and be quiet.
For two to two and a half hours.
Appreciate the fucking art.
Yeah. And so we went again to a late showing.
Yeah, when did we go? Tuesday night?
It was no
Monday night.
It was Monday.
No.
Sunday
night.
Sunday
late. It was
late.
The night before. But
feels like a lifetime ago.
It was like 10:50 or 10:30 movie. 10:15.
I literally just threw away my ticket yesterday. I should have kept it.
Yeah,
you know
me
what?
Too.
I had mine in my pocket for like the bulk. Yeah. Of
I just
the
threw
week.
Mine away.
Threw it away
too.
In the West Village.
Are we vibing?
You think it's still down there? I threw it away in the West Village.
Now this
Village.
Was a Probably. Second viewing for both Spencer and I.
Yeah,
it's your first viewing for me.
What did you think?
Oh, gotta tell you. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10?
Just what a great viewing experience. I'll start from the front door. I was greeted so nicely. No, it was great. It was, the movie was, oh, fuck. I don't even know what to say. It was so good. I look back on it. I'm like, I did spoil it for myself. Actually, the internet did it because I saw a couple of those I don't feel so good, Mr. Blank memes.
Yeah.
My thought, though, I had no idea who,
Spider-Man?
No. I thought only Spider-Man died. Oh. Or I thought it was just...
That would be
I thought
hilarious.
Either Spider-Man... if it was just Spider-Man. I actually thought there was a moment... Because Spider-Man's the only character who would use Mr. Blank.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But also, then I was like, surely they're not going to kill off Spider-Man.
Because Doctor Strange is pretty polite.
Oh, that's true. But then I was like, Vision. It's going to be Vision. They're going to have to kill Vision. He's got a stone.
Yeah.
This is like at the beginning of the movie. And then
we can get into that later if you want to.
And then he fucking did it. And just
killed Vision?
Killed everybody.
Well, he killed everybody.
Oh, we can talk about whatever. It's a spoiler. I can say whatever the fuck I want to.
Yeah. What was so funny is before I saw the movie, these internet sites will release like comic book storyline blurbs about like these are the top Thanos storylines in the comic books.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was the one that they talk about, like Thanos wipes out half of life by snapping his fingers.
Yeah.
And as soon as he snapped his fingers in the movie, I was just like, fuck, that's the one that they used.
I found this YouTube channel. I don't know if we can plug YouTube channels. I don't know the guy, but this dude just, he fucking...
Comics Explained?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you were telling us about this.
I went home that night, and I watched, like, three different videos.
Oh, that's what I told you about it. Yeah. I nerd out so hard on YouTube channels, especially if they're good. He just fucking dunks on so many theories. It's great.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a good voice.
Isn't it just Comics Explained?
Comics Explained, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would say...
What does he say channel? About Infinity War and...
It's so much, dude.
I mean,
there's
has,
like
multiple, like, videos dedicated to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, like, there's one that's just, like, a review and, like, follow up, but then he's posted probably like 10 different videos now talking about theories for Avengers 4.
Oh,
yeah, which is what I really enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
I meant to go
home.
Here's
what they might do for this. Here's what they might do for that. The biggest takeaway, though, from Avengers 4 is that the Easter egg scene at the end.
Yes, yeah.
Nick Fury and Marina Hill both dissolve, but Nick Fury, just in time, goes to call Captain Marvel, who's apparently going to be played by Brie Olsen.
Yeah,
she's
a
great choice.
Funny thing, Jordan and I were looking at Instagram with her earlier today.
Yeah, it popped up on Complex's Instagram page.
Yeah.
It was
sort of
apparently,
Brie Larson.
Apparently, her solo movie is set in the 90s.
So yeah.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I meant to, you were telling us about Comics Explained. I meant to go home and watch those videos, but then I got lost in the Captain Marvel Wikipedia timeline.
I did the same thing, yeah. Learning
so
all about
it. I didn't realize that. There was a Captain Marvel man.
Yep.
And then she was Diana, whatever her name was.
She was like an Air Force pilot, yeah.
Yeah, and then she's like Miss Marvel for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then eventually she fuses with the other dude, and it's Captain Marvel.
Because her storyline in the comic books, for a while, she's going by Miss Marvel, but she's just like a mutant or something. She's part of the X-Men.
She's a Kree human hybrid.
That's right.
Which if
Kree?
You Kree, okay. Cree,
alien race.
Which is actually an Indian race, but in like real life.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the comics, if you've seen if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, it's Lee Pace's character. It's like the purple elf guy.
Oh, okay.
Who I actually loved that villain. Just very well done. I just thought it was cool. Very menacing. Yeah, so like she...
Purple elf guy in Guardians of the Galaxy.
The main villain of the Guardians
Okay.
He's
yeah.
I think he's a dark... Well, he's a Kree, but he's purple or blue or he's some color. But yeah. Yeah. They did a good job of like designing his character. But yeah, she's like, I don't remember the exact timeline, but she ended up on their planet and they bestowed strength to her through like some machine.
Yeah.
So all this came up because you guys, I think we were walking out and you asked me what I thought and I, or whatever I've said the sentiment I left with was like, I keep looking at each adventure to step up and be the most powerful one.
Trying to figure out.
And then that's when Sam was like, oh, or he's right before the end credits scene. And then that's when you were like, oh, well, then you're going to like the Easter egg at the end. You're going to appreciate the Easter egg in the end. Yeah. So, but the Wikipedia page is kind of coy on her powers. Is she like crazy intense? Is she like
here's my thing.
Phoenix? What's her name from?
From X-Men Phoenix.
Jean Grey?
Well, Phoenix is like a sub person of an alter ego.
Jean Grey is like the technically
Jean
one
Grey
of the most.
And she can become
the vessel
Phoenix.
For the
yeah,
Phoenix. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And it's she's also considered one of the like. There's like mega or whatever the levels of superheroes. She is the top level, and there's only like three or four of them.
Yeah.
So it's I always underestimated how powerful Jean Grey was.
But it's also it like depends on like what universe they're using. There's just so that's the one thing with comics is they can get so off the rails. Like there's this whole thing where like Hulk can be the most powerful. Hulk can be so powerful that he can like just kick planets into dust.
Yeah.
There's this whole thing called like World Breaker Hulk.
Yeah.
Which I learned from this Comics Explained guy. I've never read a comic book in my life. I mean, I've read like maybe four, but like not.
Well, you got to read them.
I know. I love the art. I have like five in my thing.
I never collected comics, but I love going to the bookstore and getting just a story arc of like 5 to 10 comics.
Yeah.
I
love the art. And I have a bunch of old Iron Man comics that I got from my dad that he gave me. And I guess I've like perused through them. You
That's
know?
Awesome.
But yeah, that Infinity War was great.
It was so good.
I'd say, I didn't realize until the second viewing, but there was one part that like made me like fucking laugh out loud and I actually like the scene. I think the scene is cool and I like that element of the storyline. But the lines, Peter Dinklage, obviously great appearance.
Oh. Yeah.
But there's two lines when like they're smelting Thor's new axe, Stormbreaker.
Yeah. You were laughing a bunch during that scene.
There's one part where he goes, "No one can withstand the power of a star," and I laughed at that. And then there's a part where after Thor is very hurt from withstanding the power of a star, and he just goes, "He needs the axe," and I fucking almost wept with laughter. I was biting my lip.
It was so funny to see because he was
like a big little. Like, well, I want to know. I don't know enough about lore, but they were like, "Oh, it's the dwarves. The dwarves are making on whatever Nidavellir."
Yeah.
And obviously, we're all expecting. I was like Gimli boys, you know.
Yeah.
And we show up, and it's still dwarves, but
yeah.
But they're giant dwarves.
Yeah.
They're big little dwarves.
So it's like I don't know. I just loosely want to know how they pitched that to Peter Dinklage because I know he hates playing. Specifically, he's like, yeah, he's said that he very much does not like playing like
a little person.
Yeah, well, like the thing with Tyrion, like he's a powerful person. He doesn't like playing like stereotypical, like he doesn't want to be leprechauns or dwarves or stuff like that.
I mean, it's such a part of the Tyrion character, though.
Right.
It's
it
molded him.
Well,
you know,
well, he said like that's not because I mean. Outside of people calling him an imp, like he's still very much treated like his character is normal. Or
yes, yeah.
But he's not gonna I'm not gonna go play a leprechaun. But I wonder if they're like, hey, listen, we need you to play a dwarf,
but you're bigger.
Yeah.
But you're bigger.
Have you seen Hagrid? he was just giant metal fist Hagrid.
Also, I love that even outside of Lord of the Rings lore and old futuristic whatever, neo futuristic.
Sure.
Lore or whatever, that the dwarves are still like, you need a sword, mate? Only the dwarves can do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't name a blacksmith today, but I bet he's not a dwarf.
That'd be funny in like a comedy adaptation of like that style of movie. Like, oh, I came here for a sword. He's like, oh, because I'm a fucking dwarf? fuck you.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah,
I
yeah.
do magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a dwarf, I'm a but I was adopted by human blacksmiths.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
We actually went to see Infinity War in favor of Deadpool 2.
That's true.
And I got to say, I haven't seen Deadpool 2, but I think we made the right choice.
I did too.
I'm sure Deadpool 2 is incredible, but Infinity War was great.
What was everyone's favorite part?
I liked it because I didn't get to enjoy it as much during my first viewing. The part that is, I think, the funniest in the movie is when Thor meets up with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And Chris Pratt's character, Star-Lord, is just so emasculated by how...
How masculine Thor is. Yeah.
And the other Guardians are like, look at his body. It's so... And they're like, you've put on weight.
Yeah.
Actually, I missed it the first go around. Yeah. The funniest line was, he goes, I get it. This is a wake-up call. I'll get a Bowflex. I'll get dumbbells. Yeah. And in the background, you could hear Rocket go, you know you can't eat dumbbells.
But I also love, because like Chris so Pratt funny. As a person, like if you look from the first movie to that one, like he gained a little bit of weight.
He did gain a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
That makes sense though, because he's not the focal point.
Yeah.
Whereas in the first Guardians of the Galaxy, you're like, Jesus Christ, Chris
Pratt.
Oh, he
got fucking svelte. Yeah. And, but yeah, if you like, I only saw that because I don't know, I'm a body conscious person and I felt bad about myself. So I went to look because I was like, maybe he and I are similar size. We're not. But I looked at his, like, what he looked like in the first movie and what he looked like in this one. I was like, oh, yeah, he did gain a little weight. But he also went through a divorce. So I'm gonna blame
him and Anna Faris.
Yeah, RIP.
What's weird is I don't remember him initially on Parks and Rec as like a fat guy. But then when you look at him,
he
was
yeah.
quite slovenly. Yeah.
They also, like, the way they reference his weight loss is very funny. Have you?
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, I just stopped drinking beer.
Yeah. He's like, I lost like 80 pounds in a month. Yeah. So there you go. Stop drinking beer, man.
Yeah.
Jordan, what was your favorite part?
I don't know. The whole movie was so good. Honestly, when he snaps his fingers, like, it's not my favorite part, but I'm just like, what's that video of the guy getting slapped in the face? It's like, oh, fuck, I can't believe you've done this. Yeah. And that's how I felt in the moment. And I was like, commitment to a storyline. I can't believe you've done this.
Yeah.
But
that's like one of the oldest.
It was good.
That was
like,
that, I mean, that became a Vine, but that was like an old YouTube video.
I'm a little bit peeved. Spider-Man, also meta commentary about our conversation is like, I just love that we're like, we don't read comic books, so it's just three guys who just
kind of
watch movies a little bit, and so we're definitely not the experts on it, but just to hear us talk about it, it's like, what'd you think of Infinity War? Whereas somebody like, you know, I don't know, Brandon Ream or well versed, and it would be like, well, I like this, but I didn't like this, and we're just like, really good movie, guys.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit, I'm upset about Spider-Man's my favorite. I can't believe you done.
I did think, though, everybody else just kind of quietly looked at their hands dissolving in terror.
It's a little much.
Spider-Man was like, I don't feel good. I don't want to die, Tony. Mr. Stark,
I don't want to go. I don't want to die.
Yeah. A lot of my friends have been like, oh, that part was so heavy. I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, fucking go away, man. I was like, how come everyone else dissolved in like 3 to 5 seconds?
Yeah.
But for some reason, Spider-Man takes way too long.
About it.
Yeah.
No, fuck you guys.
Nick Fury sent for help.
Nick Fury tried to go out cussing.
He's a 14-year-old kid. He's probably like 15 or 16.
He knew what he did when he got bit by that spider.
No. He was asking.
What's the
for
fucking
it.
Quote, Jordan? With great power comes great responsibility.
What's your line? Is it jealousy? Is it if you guys don't know, Jordan has a great bit about that quote and how weird it is. Out
he's
of
talking
context.
To him about puberty in that moment.
That's a great bit.
Suspicion is a heavy armor to wear.
I liked. Any of Drax's scenes. I'm just a big Dave. Yeah, I'm a big
the scene
Dave
where
Batista
he's
fan.
Like, I can become invisible.
That was my favorite.
And then what is her name? The mom.
Mantis.
Mantis walks out and he's like,
Hi, Drax.
He's like, ugh. Yeah.
The one thing I'll say is that really very funny movie. They've all been very good. I think it balances the humor and the serious well. One thing I think we can all agree on, definitely not as funny as the group that was sitting beside us.
Oh, they were.
They were fucking losing their shit at the movie. There was like serious scenes where it was a joke transition to serious, and then they're still laughing.
They're cackling.
Like, let me ask you this. Do you guys think that's because we do comedy? I moved here, I was kind of still seeing a young lady. And she came to visit me, and we went to a play that was not a comedy play, but there were funny parts in it. And we got out afterwards, and she was like, you laugh at nothing. And she, I was like, what do you mean? She's like, the whole theater laughed.
Really?
And you didn't move. And I was like, I guess maybe I just am a less easy laugh, but I feel like I enjoy.
I'll agree. Cause I don't like, I don't laugh at as many things, but when I laugh, boy, do I laugh, you know? Like,
yeah, it's like, but then also, you know, I want to agree with you and say that like, I'm a harder laugh, but then we're like, we just like, we're looking at memes on the way over here and like, nothing gets me going like a good meme, you know? So
yeah,
I got seven.
So like, I'm a harder laugh, but also I'm an incredibly easy laugh, you know?
Good
so
meme gets
it
me kinda,
yeah, it depends. And I have like a,
maybe we just have a higher tolerance for not easy jokes.
For like, I think we just know. Well, with movies, it's like you can kind of tell when something's going to be funny.
Yeah.
They give you, it's their very set up punchline.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So when it's stuff like Rocket's background piece, and you're like, you appreciate it because it was just kind of shot
in
there.
There's,
you know,
probably not a lot of people that heard that.
Yeah.
And it is just a good joke. So yeah.
We do have a
I
loose
see
fly.
It.
New guest to the pod, everyone.
Yeah.
Fan.
I'll say a gnat.
Yeah.
A gnat.
Pest of the pod.
Pest of the pod.
There you go.
First time buzzer.
Best
long
of
time.
The pod. All right,
Infinity
War
is off the board. Feels good.
It does. Should we keep Jordan's tour and some stories?
Give us a quick rundown of your tour.
Quick rundown. How are we doing on battery life?
We're fine on battery life, and honestly, if we run out of battery, we have recorded almost a full episode's worth of stuff.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
So I don't know if we have to do the whole all rest these? Of the board, but okay. We can talk. Why don't you give us a rundown of your tour?
It was great. I think, I don't know if I even told you, but I was telling somebody, great. Just great. I was on the road with, it was like 4 days, four shows. It was really three shows. With Raise the Wolf, who is a dog charity, and they partner with local smaller charters and chapters in these small towns. So, like, the last show we did was the Harry Houdini Siberian Husky Rescue. That's and awesome. it was a rescue specifically for Siberian Huskies that are really good at getting out of their cages.
Really?
So specific.
That's why it's called the
Harry
Houdini.
Harry Houdini,
that
yeah.
is a deep cut.
Wait, so do they get out of the cages and just run away and escape?
Yeah, I think, yeah, sometimes they do. Not all the time, but like,
I was like, wait, did Harry Houdini start a dog rescue?
No, not at all. It's just because their Siberian Huskies are particularly
good. Some dogs
are
crazy good. Yeah.
And I think it was more for just Siberian Huskies as a whole. This is in Michigan, so it's like probably.
Did you get to meet dogs?
No. Actually,
what?
The last show, there were the first two shows, so I did. It was a run of four shows, but the first show was just I just got on at the open mic at the Pittsburgh Improv, and which was weird, but it went well. And then and then it was in Newark, Ohio, Mansfield, Ohio, and then Waterford Township, Michigan, outside of Detroit. Uh-huh. And then the other two shows were just out east and north of Columbus, but they were awesome. But they did get progressively worse for me because the first crowd was incredible. And then they just got more and more specific to the area as in they got older and they got more conservative and they got less open to weird stuff, I guess. Sure. So
you're going to hate me,
but
I have to pee.
Yeah. Pee. Okay. Yeah. That's no problem.
Fill the air.
All right.
Hold on.
Hold on. We got to let him.
All right.
What? This is the part where I do weird stuff. When he walks out, I do ASMR stuff.
Oh, yeah. And then hand me that water bottle, please.
Oh, yeah.
Change jar.
Oh, yeah. I like to do some of these scratches.
Yeah, I was going
to. On the mic.
Sometimes I like to. Oh, this is a corduroy hat.
Oh. It actually bothers me, like fingernails on a seatbelt. Oh yeah, or rubbing, like scratching your skin.
Yeah. Oh wait, paper.
Oh, that's a good one. Or like a gulp, like a. That one kind of sounded. What
sounded like I was taking a dick.
Or.
Are you biting a penny? Oh, that's bothersome.
It's a water cap.
Oh, okay. I thought you put a penny in your mouth.
He's back. Okay.
Yeah, but like, do you have to?
Almost.
That's something we could have put up. Washing, I guess if you live here, yeah. Whenever people bring up washing your hands, I'm always like, I know where my penis has been. It's been in my pants all day.
I think it's the fact that it has been in your, especially this time of year. It gets super sweaty.
Fair enough.
There is bacteria down there, you know?
Damn it.
And also think about this. I always remind myself of this. Think about when you are sitting down and you fart. That fart is going all over your dick.
That's a good point.
You're just cooking your hot dog and poop particles.
Yeah, exactly. Also, and that, I think, is the biggest thing.
Even if your dick is super clean right now, guess what I don't want to touch? Your dick.
That's true.
If your hand touches your dick.
Well, that's the difference between you and me, mon frere.
I'm totally fine with touching dicks.
Mon frere. So real quick. Yeah, it was good. It was a great tour. Got paid each show. The guy paid promptly on time. I loved it. The shows got weird, but I just went out there and did my job. It was good because I told you before I left, is like one thing I have a problem with is putting together good shows back to back.
Back to back, yeah, you told me that.
And I felt really good. Like my stamina is up there. Like I could have kept going. It is hard though. I was like waking, like doing a show, spending all day being nervous about doing a show, amping yourself up to do well on that show, doing the show, drinking afterwards. Going to bed, waking up, driving while you're nervous to another show, and then you just repeat the process. What are you laughing at?
I just remembered that we haven't talked about this yet, about how you, on your Insta story, which you did the whole time.
I did too many of them?
So good.
No, not too many. Spencer and I were talking about how we both enjoyed it.
That you can't do too many Insta stories.
Also, some people have shitty Insta stories. You are actually, for some reason, very good at Insta stories.
Really? Oh.
It's crazy.
It's just being like, and don't take this the wrong way, like kind of dumb, but you're so likable in it that like I just want to keep watching.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Literally, my entire friendship with Jordan, everyone has always been like, I want to hate him,
but I just don't. Can't.
There have been multiple times where, like, just as friends, like, I love you to death. So I'm saying this in full fairness, but he's done like really shitty things.
Oh yeah,
oh, sure.
Or he's just been a bad friend, and I can never stay mad at him.
Yeah, he is. And sometimes,
it's okay. I've been there. I'm that kind of friend.
I think we've talked about it that sometimes, previously in a lot of relationships, I've used that to my advantage.
Sure.
In school, with professors, with friends, and stuff
you
do. Like that.
You always get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But God damn,
where you're like, you're so likable and get away with everything. Fuck you,
what
man.
What are you talking about?
But on your story, one morning you woke up post show, and you just roll over as though you're rolling over to a lover after a one night stand, and it's just an empty bag of chocolate frosted donuts.
Which. Wait, what did you... Sorry, what did you just
Donuts? Donuts? I don't know how
that's
called.
That's what... The brand that I get is called Donuts.
Oh, it's called... Okay, I thought you were just drastically mispronouncing donuts.
No. They're D-O-N-E-T-T-E-S.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Maybe
that's not
the brand that you got, but that's the brand I always get at bodegas around here. Donuts.
It was the same brand that we just saw in the store
that
before.
That is his go-to snack.
Oh,
it's
God.
My
fucking... Yeah. I'm the same way.
And I don't like a big chocolate donut from Entenmann's. Get that shit away from me. Mini chocolate donuts. Oh, man. You know why? Is because I like to take a bite of the donut, dip it in milk. The chocolate acts as a seal, and it softens the inside. Then you eat it.
I've never done that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Break the walls down.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So we were just like, it was after the first show. I was on the road with Jason Allen King, one of my best friends, crazy funny guy out of Charlotte. And then the headliner was Sid Davis, older guy, just fucking phenomenal. Like, I've never met a more self-aware yet funny comic. He's like, he was like joking about, he knows how good he is. He crushed in all three rooms. I mean, really, like, there's no following the guy, and he knows that.
Uh-huh.
But what he also knows is, like, I've told him about some of the bigger comics in New York, and there was one specifically that came up who I don't want to name, who's also from the South. I don't want to get specific, but
it's me.
I was like, man, I love him so much. And Sid came up with him, and he was like, God, I love him too. He's like, he can't follow me. And this guy's been on late night.
Yeah.
And Sid's like, that guy can't follow me. But on the other hand, I can't sell out a room and headline on a Wednesday night, you know?
Yeah,
so he's like super funny, a little bit cocky, kind of what you need to be, but then very self-aware.
But that is true. I mean, I guess I won't know if I've never seen Sid, so I don't know if I can.
But
there is that, like, the people realize when you do comedy is that there are people that are on the road that you're like, I mean, they're the funniest people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And nobody knows them.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, there are just so many comics that you'll just never ever hear their name.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And they could have some of the most genius jokes.
Yeah.
That will just.
They're really good. Yeah. Yeah.
And I like comedy in New York and in LA from what I've done there. But like, I think that's one of the biggest things that I don't like about it is like the people, a lot of the comics on like coastal scenes who are just like, this is it. This is the epicenter. Yeah. And then like these slayers come to town and they're like, who's this person? I'm like, I mean, you can't even comprehend.
You know, it's there's those, no it's way. Those damn yeah. coastal elites, yeah. you know, just yeah. forgetting about
it. It really is like there's a bubble. Politically, there's a bubble, but like comedically, there is for sure a bubble. Like,
I think you can say it for most industries.
I think yeah. my issue yeah. is that part of the thing I struggled with moving to New York was like getting here. I realized how much of comedy is not about comedy. Uh-huh. It's like, it is like, play the game, you know, and like, you need credits and all this shit.
It's a call
out
to another favorite comic of ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jared Harris.
Jared Harris.
Really funny guy in
Atlanta. Play the game, you.
I don't really think he does comedy as much anymore because he's big into BMX, but that's one of the funniest guys I've seen.
Is Jared Harris still in Atlanta? I thought he lived in LA.
He's in Atlanta.
He's in Atlanta. He was in LA for a bit. Okay. Yeah, he
I
lives.
I want to say I hosted for Jared at Go Bananas once.
Him and
probably.
Lace.
He Larry is B, right? truly one of the funniest he's guys. Super also, really, funny. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
When I was young, did we do a show with him?
He came through Charlotte one time.
That's what it was. No, I did something with him in Greenville one
time.
Oh,
you may have done. Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Because he came through Greenville one time. He's a super nice dude. Like, at the time, like, had a. I don't know if he had a late night credit, but he had. Yeah, he had George Lopez, which.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
And he's just a guy that got burned out. But Sid was great.
Super nice dude, yeah.
What a class act. Like, he bought us meals, multiple meals. Really? Just such a good dude. Yeah. And then Jason's great. Jason drove. That's why I flew into Pittsburgh, or I took a bus into Pittsburgh. Jason picked me up, and it was just a blast, dude.
That's awesome.
Objectively did not do well, and I had a lot of, like, especially the last show, I had a lot of people sitting beside drinking with Jason, and I had a lot of people coming up to Jason being like, wow, what a great show, you are phenomenal. Hey man, good stuff. Like, just so dismissive.
Have I told that joke on this?
What joke?
This is a street joke for comedians. And I could be getting the source wrong, but it was told to me by Alex Stone, friend of the pod, fan of the pod, former guest.
Former co-host.
And I believe he said that it was told to him by Gary Goldman, and it is such a funny joke. All right, I'll do it. It's really quick.
Okay.
Headliner and a feature act, they get picked up by the host for a comedy club weekend, and they're driving to the show that night. It's rainy. They get in a car wreck. They all die and go up to heaven, and God at the pearly gates looks at the headliner, and he's like, you know, you weren't like a great person in life. You did like a lot of bad things. You sinned a lot, but you're very funny. Your comedy is very good. I'm going to let you in.
Okay.
Man. And then he goes to the feature act. He's like, yeah, same, man. Like, you weren't a great person, but, you know, you're very funny. In some ways, I thought you were funnier than the headliner, you know? And you know what? I'm going to let you into heaven. And then he goes to the MC. He goes, hey, you were funny too.
That is every that interaction is good. I've been a part of.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So that was my tour. Raised the Wolf. Got back.
That was your tour
Sunday. It was fun.
We're sitting at 1:07 right now.
With only 1 minute.
Yeah.
Off the board.
Jordan's tour off the board.
I would have thrown this into odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Well, so I do we are odds say, and ends. I feel like I. You need to put it up top because I don't know if Emer would still be listening at this point. But Emer, if you are listening, Emer Falon, fan of the pod, former write-in. Emer, I'm holding in my hand my new SureFit slipcover for our futon.
For our futon.
Oh, Jesus.
How is that the first time we came on that? And you'll be delighted to know that this
the color,
new,
what's the color?
The color is a delightful chocolate tone.
Chocolate tone.
That notes, just, not by accident.
Notes of chocolate.
Yeah.
That has got to be planned.
So I'm gonna
was
put
it expensive?
It on.
How much was it?
No, I think it ran about 50, 60. It's not
that's
bad.
Not bad.
That's expensive.
Is it expensive?
I'm a cheapskate, so.
For a cover, yeah. So you got that. So
it's done.
Glad we can put a nice little.
I'll actually probably enlist your help here when we get done.
Oh, and put it on.
Put it
yeah.
on. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
So, new futon cover.
Off the board.
Now, you sickos wanted to.
We have
do
just gotten increasingly less enthusiastic about off the board things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really just want to talk about the terrible NFL. We can bring up Jordan's toenails real quick. Oh, I mean, yeah. Obviously, that's a
visual. We were
going to
talk about toenail grooming and also how Spencer and I said I tear and rip my finger and toenails off, and Spencer does the same, which I don't often find. That's kind of a rare thing.
I don't. I'll be honest. I don't talk to people. So I'm like, I'm like insecure about toenail clippings because to me it's not gross.
No, it's not.
But
well,
I know
I do it in my home.
Yeah. I'm not gonna like do it. I've seen people do it on buses.
Oh,
and stuff.
And that's disgusting.
That's gross. Yeah. Not so much from like the. I don't think toenails are that gross. Like if I saw one in the wild, I wouldn't be like, ooh, you know, like
Some people in more than the toenail. Some people have like a foot thing.
That's
which
what
I've
it is.
Never,
I don't really have a foot thing, but I just have more so. It's like a. It's like a common decency thing.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna pull out.
Well, I think it's a thing. It's like toenail body things are fine when they're in the place that they're supposed to be.
Yes.
Toenails in the wild, gross. Yeah. Because it's not on a toe. Hair in the wild, gross.
Yeah, feet don't bother me at all.
In my face, you know? If they're in my face, I get mad. But
let's hold hands.
Yeah, see, this is fine.
Well, watch. You might
cut
it.
Yeah, that's actually the only thing I'm worried about. Yeah, Jordan and I are touching toes right now. And I don't know.
Jordan has eagle talons as toenails.
I will say, the one person who has it, and he tried to shame me. Alex Stone has... almost worse than you, especially on the big toe. He's carrying fucking blades around in his socks, and he's like, "Your toenails are freakishly short, and they are not."
Does
Alex.
That hurt? Like, if I have long toenails, I can feel them.
Yeah, they snag on socks.
Yeah, which is one of my least favorite.
Well,
things.
The thing is that mine look bad, but with my psoriasis, I actually have really
bad. I mean,
really
they look worse than bad. They look fucking horrific.
Yes. Yeah.
They're like, I think you should. Like, what were those little commercials back in the day with like the gremlin that would crawl on people's toes?
I don't have a fungus.
I
have thick pitted nails because my body overproduces a vitamin or calcium or whatever.
Maybe
so
stop
it's related.
Drinking
it is related.
It is related to
the
psoriasis.
Okay.
So it's all over. It's like parts of my body.
I'm sorry.
And it affects the nails. So my nails are actually super short, but they look long. So they look like they need to be cut, but they are. But they're like they're normal length.
Are your toenails Doctor Strangeness? They throwing out illusions.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because they look long.
You're right. I need to cut them. I'm so sorry.
I can physically touch them and they're long.
One of you guys peel them for me? Fucking
you know what? If I get drunk enough tonight, yes, I will. I will clip your toenails.
I feel like those would snap, actually. They would
right? I'm worried.
They look too rigid.
Mine?
Yeah.
They are
you know
very
what you should
thick
do?
And hard.
And this is what we were talking about when we said put a pin in it, is trim your toenails. Same thing with your fingernails. After you get in the shower or in the shower,
yeah, they soften
up. It's the best. That's when I can really, really get in there. Because I don't know about you, but my like the outside of my big toe, I get sock gunk in there, which is disgusting.
And it's very
upsetting. I apologize for people listening, but it's,
no, I think it happens to all of us.
Yeah, and it's but when I get it out, boy, is it refreshing. You got like I'm a new boy.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, Jordan's gross
toenail fingernails keep
off the board.
So this last one, we saved the most problematic for last.
Should we like play the NFL intro song? This is a boom 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 boom.
I think we just what do you write in
fucking.
If you haven't been following in the news, the NFL this week, the owners voted and they're instituting a new policy where all players have to stand for the anthem. If they don't, it is a 15-yard penalty and teams get fined. And it is, just overwhelmingly fucking
bullshit.
Horseshit.
I'm not for it. I will say there is the option to just not come out.
Well, and I
but
I,
no one's going to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just, it's just fucking horseshit. And it is like,
oh, the option to not show up on the field.
Yes, for the anthem.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Or if you're the Browns, there's the option just to not show up all season.
They just reinstated the national anthem in National Football League games right after 9/11. It wasn't a thing that you did.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Admittedly, I'm not old enough to remember. So.
I think maybe even, you know, just like late 90s. But it wasn't a thing that they did in like this 70s and 80s and 90s, really.
Well, I'm of the opinion that... You know, they're catering to the their celebration of
America,
the military, and America patriotism is much the same as their showcasing of breast cancer awareness. Where I'm sure that like consciously they're like, oh, we're doing a good thing, but like it's so telling to me that this quote unquote good thing that you're doing really lines up with your pockets.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, there's a reason they play like army recruiting ads during football games.
Yeah,
like, there's money being pushed. I'm not trying to be Bernie Sanders over here on corruption, but I am. But yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous to like see the correlation between the two.
And also, the Susan G. Komen Foundation
was just
is like,
about to say that.
It's like one of the top. Like
most corrupt
misuse of money.
So I dated a girl. If she's ever listening, what's up, Chelsea?
You dated Susan G. Komen.
I did. What a bitch. No, I dated a girl whose job was to analyze charities.
Oh, yeah. And there's a site for it that online.
So, and she, I'm not going to get into it, but she worked for a company and they wanted to give money to Susan G. Komen as well as, what's the Wounded Soldier, Wounded Warrior Wounded Project? Warriors, right, and yeah. She did like a report and found out they're just both just pay their CEOs a ton of money, have a lot of like unallocated cash and donations.
No, really
fucked up stuff. Yeah. And it's sad because she would go to the company that she was working on the foundation for and be like, we shouldn't donate to these people. And they're like, yeah, we're going to do it anyway because it looks good.
Yeah.
If you have,
fucking upsetting, man.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, you know?
And it's just so, I mean, honestly, this is, the NFL thing really aligns well with my lifestyle right now because I'm getting so into basketball and a lot of basketball fans and pundits are like, give it 5 years and the NBA is about to be the most popular sport in the U.S.
I mean, I always like watching the NBA during the finals because that's when I can focus and like people will like fill me in on storylines and stuff like that.
I'm the exact same way.
It's great. The player rivalries are awesome.
And I will say it does. I do think that the NBA, I won't say that the NBA, at least some figures in it, aren't seemingly cashing in on being like, well, of course the NFL would
right.
do this. But they do have like a strong precedent of like not. I mean, remember Donald Sterling, right? That video came out. He's being horribly racist. They fucking took his team away. And then
that was
this,
the Clippers, right? Whereas, in retrospect. Same thing similarly happened with Jerry Richardson and the Panthers. And it's taken them forever to finally get a new owner, which we just got a new owner last week, I believe.
David Tepper.
Which I love because he has vocally said how much he thinks Trump is a fucking idiot.
Really?
I cannot be more happy that we have an owner that, you know, just
vocal about
an honest person. I say that not knowing anything else about his personal life, but.
Was he on Shark Tank? He looks familiar to me.
David Tepper? No idea. I have no idea who he is.
He was a minority owner of the Steelers.
This is what we were talking about earlier. I grew up playing sports. I like sports. I am admittedly more into the like back end fun stuff of hockey and soccer than I am of the NFL and NBA and stuff. I was already kind of like out the door with the NFL anyway. Just all the shit going on with it. I cannot tell you how many conversations I've had with my parents about how they're not protesting the flag and all that stuff. And this kind of, I think we were talking, I think I might be done with the NFL.
And for me, I caught myself after they made that announcement. I did catch myself like reading about like Bengals minicamp. I'm like knee deep in it. And I was sitting there reading about it. And I was like, why am I? I don't like this anymore. And it fucking sucks. I'm holding out hope that because I think the NFL Players Association has said like, you know, we'll see.
It's also it's like literally taking away the right to free speech.
It seems grossly unconstitutional. So, you know, I hope that they bring like a huge lawsuit or something. But yeah, I think overwhelmingly I have to be.
I have a feeling this is partially not that they were that worried about it, but Vince McMahon, you know, obviously made the announcement of XFL last year. If you didn't know, but,
did he?
Did you really not know that? So he made a big stink about it.
Oh, he's bringing it back, yeah.
Because it was at the height of the people were like, well, they're going to let them players kneel. I don't know if I want to watch this football no more, you know? Vince, who is a wild conservative, his wife is literally Linda McMahon is on one of Trump's – he's an appointee. She is an appointee of Trump. Obviously, Trump has been in various WWE storylines. I like wrestling a lot, so I know this. And he was like, we're going to come out. And I don't remember his exact words, but it was very obvious. He's like, we're bringing back XFL, and you bet your ass, like, they're going to stand for that thing. So I think Roger Goodell was like, I don't think this is a big competition, but I got to nip it in the bud.
Because
that was that was Vince's big thing. It's like, this is going to be the conservative football league, you know, but like, it's going to be like purely for fucking.
X stands for Christmas.
For Christian.
Putting the Christ back into football.
And it's so, I mentioned right before I think we started recording, it's so interesting because my dad, so I come from a pretty conservative background and stuff. My dad is super conservative. And he actually boycotted the NFL last year. Huge point of contention for my family.
On account of the kneeling. Right?
On account of the kneeling and allowing it.
Good
so now
Jeff.
We're flipping back. Also, on a side note, it's like, who am I? You know, like, I say that I'm with you. I'm like, I'm done with the NFL. But, like, I was never in the NFL. Like, I was never on the NFL. Like, I don't own League Pass. I don't watch any of the games. If I'm at a bar and it's on the TV, then I'll watch it. But, like, I'm, like, such a third or fourth removed audience like target audience that
you weren't
like,
even at our Super Bowl watch party in the house that we lived in together.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Where was I?
I think you're probably working.
But yeah, so like I barely watch. I'll watch highlights on Instagram, mm-hmm. and that's only getting views for specific channels. So it's not in no way, I think, is it really financially benefiting the NFL the way I watch. But I will go back and say, like, yeah, it's interesting because my dad last year boycotted it for a because they were kneeling, and now I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to watch because they're not allowing the kneeling.
Do you think Jeff boycott? So everyone who doesn't know, Jordan's father is
J-F.
I call him J-F, J-A-Y-U-F-F, is the quintessential Marine father. Cannot stress enough how Marine dad he is. Great dude. Love him to death. Throws shade at Jordan all the time. It's hilarious. Do you think he actually boycotted the NFL? Because I know that man. He loves him some sports.
100% he did. He started watching a lot of baseball. He already liked baseball.
Man, I was
really
hoping you were going to say something obscure like professional lacrosse or
He started watching a lot of college football.
I'll bring it back. I love college football.
And then he went.
Yeah, maybe I'll just get more into college because I don't really follow it.
Yeah.
Are there any?
It is fun.
Cincinnati
really
Bearcats. What up, boy?
Yeah, but you can't catch them on TV often.
Yeah,
you can't. I know. I went to not a small school, but a very small market school.
Yeah.
Who has a good football. Well, used to be a good football team. Yeah. But
my
it's
brother's
impossible.
A big OSU
fan.
Fuck, but
I
that
wanted
feels
to read.
Like rooting for like the fucking Patriots.
Right? Yeah. Anyone? Yeah. I've got like my. I had an ex step now ex step brother at the time a step brother. I vehemently hate Alabama. I will say it's completely.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, it's completely irrational.
Roll Tide,
it's totally irrational, and it's purely based on. He's never going to listen to this, but Alex Zimmer, if you're listening, it's you are the reason I hate Alabama football.
I got people like that.
Yeah. He's a fucking piece of shit. Maybe he's a nice guy now, but at the time, he's a piece of shit. Yeah. And he like applied to Alabama, and like I don't even know if he got in, but he just started repping Roll Tide so hard. I was like, dude, have you even been to Alabama ever?
Yeah.
And that's very God, I'm such a fucking hypocrite because I love Newcastle United football, soccer, whatever. Yeah. And I've never been there. But I have a friend on Twitter who has, so you know, I'm connected. But yeah, I just whatever, that's how sports works. It's irrational and it makes sense.
I'll tell you what I hate though. People keep bringing up like and I fully acknowledge like it's a business decision. I understand that people kneeling for the anthem is bad for your business. But the way that you're going about taking care of that is terrible. One, because you're making standing for the anthem meaningless.
Because
you have to. So there is no meaning. You've taken all meaning out of it and replaced it with only contention.
Yeah.
And you could have – I understand that this takes more money and more time. But you could have gone to all of the players protesting and been like, what can I do?
How can we fix this?
Yeah. What can I do to get you to stand for the anthem? And I bet it would be like, oh, put money into criminal justice reform.
Make
it a publicity thing for the team.
Yeah. Right.
Be on their side. And then they are also standing for the anthem.
Yes.
And
then
everybody and I know that that's not as easy as making the rule, but it is so much better in the long term.
Well, very rarely does any form of American politics take the like the hard and correct
open honest
route.
Discourse like that. Yeah.
It's so
that's a good point. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's why I mean
is this Pod Save America right now.
That's why I love the. that's why I'm so quickly becoming such a fan of the NBA because like. First of all, when all this NFL news came out, who did they go to? They went to fucking the NBA players and coaches to ask them their opinion. Steve Kerr, he was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love Steve Kerr because he's like, he is so honest. Uh-huh. And a lot of you find that, first of all, the players have such a larger, they occupy such a larger space and like the human, like our cultural diaspora, like they're like NBA players by and large. That the most followed NFL player is like Odell Beckham Jr.
He's
like a couple million.
Oh, you mean they have higher clout?
LeBron
yeah, they
like
have
so
much
higher
so clout. But even like a lower mid tier, like Kevin Love has a hell of a lot more followers than like a high. I mean, I don't know.
To be honest, I did not know that. But I also don't pay attention to.
So the personalities are a lot more singular in NBA, even though it's about the team.
It's
people
not.
Focus more on like individuals than they do in the NFL and stuff. So, but and then also like they are. I mean, it is easier to get an NBA athlete's opinion because that press conference you interview only a handful of players. Your starting lineup is 5 people as opposed to 32 or whatever it was.
11.
You know, 22.
Yeah.
22 in special teams. So we're talking about 32 people, 33.
Yeah.
So You know, I mean, you, there's no way you can have even a, you're not going to have 10 people on a dais to interview him for a press conference afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, in basketball, that culture of interviewing players is already there. So it's like we're asking, it's so easy to be like, hey, what's your opinion about why this defensive play broke down? And then also, what are your opinions on the NFL? It's so easy to do that when you're only interviewing a handful of players at a time. So.
So that's why I like hockey, because none of them can speak English. Yeah. So. Or they're Canadian and they just don't care.
Yeah. So I also wanted to, a little bit, we don't have to be done with this, but I wanted to read these NFL jokes.
Oh yeah.
Can I do that?
Oh, yeah. In the midst of this controversy, Jordan is capitalizing on
NFL. So I got a freelance gig writing. Is it okay if I read them?
Yeah, go for it. Explain what happened.
So essentially what it is these guys are putting together a pilot. I found it on Upwork. I've been freelance writing and stuff. These guys are putting together a pilot. Think Garbage Time with Katie Nolan, if you've ever seen that.
Yep.
So it's a strong, opinionated anchor. They're actually also getting a female sideline reporter for the Chicago Fire, I think. So she's in the Chicago market.
Wait, like the soccer team?
Yes. Yeah,
very cool.
And so she does covers local Chicago sports and stuff. But anyway, they asked me to write jokes for it based on some news articles that they had gotten together.
Uh-huh.
And so I only have a handful, but I want to read each one's about a different team. So hopefully these are okay at least. They actually just recently repivoted the pilot and stuff. So
I will say you have to have a deep sports knowledge to get these jokes.
Is it super deep? We'll find out.
Yeah,
so
we'll be the judge.
Jacksonville Jaguars and the Minnesota Vikings. The Jacksonville Jaguars and Minnesota Vikings, two teams that fell just one win shy of the Super Bowl last season, announced in late May that they will be holding joint practices throughout August. This marks one of the first times in the NFL that two teams have had to rely on the buddy system. Oh, God, these are going to be bad. Yeah. The buddy system is one of the oft-employed strategies first developed by NFL coaching legend George Halas, along with the no takesy backsies and nuh-uh, you didn't get me. That's it. Oh, boy. The Minnesota Vikings with the 30th pick in the first round. I already read this one earlier. With the 30th pick in the first round, the Vikings resisted the temptation to pass up a premium position player by drafting UCF quarterback Mike Hughes. Hughes was the third cornerback drafted in the first round by the Vikings in the last 6 years. I knew they were pretty excited about me. So once they got the chance to grab me, I'm not surprised, Hughes said. I'm definitely blessed to be in this position. And I just thank God I didn't go to the Jets. I got to turn these in.
I am watching Jordan die inside right now.
I know. I'm going to keep reading. I don't really care. The Detroit Lions, in a further effort to improve their leaky offensive line, the Detroit Lions drafted Arkansas center Frank Ragnow with the 20th overall pick of the NFL 2018 NFL draft. The hope is that Ragnow will help boost the Lions' lackluster running game by joining guards TJ Lang and Graham Glasgow in an offensive line that's quickly shaping up to sound like an Eastern European henchman from a Steven Seagal flick. God damn it. I want to keep pushing through. We're still waiting to hear about the status of defensive backs Carl Carlson, Fritz Jung, and Mongo. The Dallas Cowboys with their
Many of these do you have?
He has like eight or nine. Every single team.
Really?
I don't have to do the whole team now. They repositioned. They were like, we don't need jokes anymore. We just need
content.
We just need scripts summarizing who they drafted. So it's a lot more.
That's good.
But you're supposed to be. Are they supposed to be serious or funny?
Since they've repivoted, it's supposed to be pretty straightforward and serious.
Okay, good. Because
Dallas Cowboys with their first pick.
You're just reading us facts.
Yeah,
I'm reading you. No. These are my jokes.
Oh,
that you're not using.
No, I'm going to send them to them. But with their first pick of the draft, the Dallas Cowboys drafted in favor of bolstering their defense as opposed to their receiving core. Leighton Vander Esch of Boise State went 19th in the first round and was the first 80s ski movie villain to go in this year's draft.
That one's good.
That is good.
It made me speechless, Vander Esch said. It's the craziest moment of my life so far, aside from that time my dad bought the local mountain and kicked out all those young kids in ski bumps.
You could have stopped it on the first sentence.
For the first time since 1950-51, the Redskins drafted players from the same school in consecutive first rounds. Defensive lineman Deron Payne, the 13th overall pick, joins former Alabama teammates Jonathan Allen and Ron Anderson in what is quickly becoming the most annoying, insufferable NFL on-screen player introductions of all time. Roll Tide!
We are going on an hour and a half.
Should I stop?
You're gonna make
this last one.
You're gonna make Sam edit so much crap.
I'm gonna read this last
hit
one.
Hit us with your last one.
Good thing everyone's got Monday off.
They're bad. Are
give
they
us
bad?
A, give God. Us a haymaker. Some of them are okay.
If yeah. these are okay, Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals sold their soul and three additional draft choices, a first round, third round, and fifth round.
Josh Rosen.
To draft real-life human Bratz doll Josh Rosen. Rosen, UCLA quarterback and Blair Waldorf impersonator, was drafted number 10 overall, a point of contention, however, for the 21-year-old quarterback. I thought I should have been picked at 1, 2, or even 3, Rosen said, as he put pen to paper on a four-year, $28.84 million combined contract and signing bonus. I was really, really angry to not have gone sooner. Rosen chortled as his eyes transformed into dollar signs and his skin turned green. The idea that a player with an inflated ego could come out of Los Angeles is truly shocking. Rosen represents the long-anticipated hopes that he will develop into the franchise quarterback Arizona desperately wants, and frankly, any player that's willing to put on a fake face of happiness for whatever team
you
chooses
literally
me
making him the
is a player I'd be willing to burn four draft picks on. Well, that was a fun short-lived
NFL sports. Is off the board.
God, are we going to close on that?
All right.
Was it really bad?
It was just, no, some of them were yeah. good. It's just the fact that you made us do it. You know what I mean?
It's like
of all the picks on draft day, I'm done. Last one's about the Panthers.
I just sat there while you did it to me.
What content are you producing guys?
guys, this has been the pod. Spencer, thanks so much. You want to tell them your Twitter handle one more time?
Yeah, what are you?
Yeah, sure. I'm at Spencer Spicy. I don't have anything to plug. I'm making a weird website.
Okay. Called no, it's not weird.
Called technicallyhomeless.com.
Okay. You got a good thing
has
going
nothing
on.
To do with homeless people, by the way.
I'm at Really Sam Evans.
You have anything to plug?
You've been no, not really. Just come to my weekly that Rar Bar in LIC
yeah,
Tuesday
nights
9 p.m. It's a great
maybe
show.
Come see us on the road in August.
We do have dates.
Oh, are you coming for that too?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna. You know,
we should try to get most of those ironed out this coming week so we can start promoting it.
Yes,
but the back half of August, we're going to be going down south, and we're going to be hitting Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yes, we are.
I can't wait.
So we'll be on the road like August 16th through the 20th or 22nd.
It's going to be like two and a half weeks. Yeah. So, be on the lookout for that. But I'm really Sam Evans. That's at Juden Huggins. And, guys, please send us your emails, your reviews, at Up Your Butt Pod. upyourbuttpod@gmail.com, and y'all are great. We're sorry that Jordan...
No, please let me know if those are bad jokes.
Well, we already did.
Some of them were good.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, just massage them a bit.
I love you guys.
Thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
Later, buttheads.
Of course, guys. You all want to eat?
We just ate.
I mean, I could eat again.
Wow, okay. Well, I guess I'll go fuck myself.
Bye, idiots.
See ya.
Bye, buttheads.
Bye, buttheads.
Bye, guys.